Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guests are Carrie and Clay Collins, and they're with the fishing vessel Shenandoah. Now, first of all, Clay, you're like a third-generation fisherman. Right. How did that all come about?
Well, actually, my grandpa migrated out to the West Coast during the Great Depression, looking for work. He had a lead on a job out here. So he ended up in Port Orford, Oregon, and started a restaurant. And during World War II, he was unable to get food for his restaurant due to the rations. And so he decided to go out and try to catch a few Dungeness crab. And it was just wide open at the time. They were using really crude traps made out of like 2x4s and chicken coop wire. And it was really bountiful. And before he knew it, he had fallen in love with the ocean. And he kind of let the restaurant go to the wayside and just became a commercial fisherman. And so then he moved down to Trinidad a few years later because they could fish about 100 days more a year out of Trinidad than they could out of Port Orford, Oregon. Because the wind gets pretty nasty up there out of the northwest.
And then your dad?
Yeah, he just kind of fell into it because, you know, Grandpa was doing pretty well at it. He was running charters out of Trinidad early on and commercial crab fishing, commercial salmon. My dad was more of a artist-poet type. I don't know how it all worked out. Somehow Grandpa talked him into to joining him charter boat fishing. He fell in love with it also. You know, it's a strange romance that you develop with the sea. You know, it's interesting. It happened to me at a young age. It's just every day is different. It's exciting. The bounty is incredible sometimes. And when I was 18, I decided to give it a shot working as a deckhand for my dad. And he was, you know, reaching retirement age. So I thought it might be a great opportunity for me. And it turned out to be, you know, exactly what I was looking for.
Now, how did you two meet, Carrie? How did you guys meet?
We met in high school. Clay's mom lives down in the Placerville area, and he went back and forth as he was growing up. That's where I moved from, and so we met in high school, and after graduation, moved up here.
Uh-huh. And did you know what you were getting into with the whole fishing business?
I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
No, I grew up in the mountains, so, you know, moving to the coast was pretty exciting, and yeah, I didn't know anything about fishing.
And you've kind of had trial by fire. I mean, I think with preparing some of the food. One day Clay came home, and then what happened?
Oh, yeah. He came home with a bunch of tuna one day.
A bunch, but yeah. You've got to say how many a bunch is.
Oh, what, about 50 tuna?
There was 57, I think.
57, so yeah. I thought, what in the world am I going to do with this? So I made a few phone calls and, you know, did some research, and that's when I learned about pressure canning tuna.
Uh-huh. So your business now, you're doing a lot of charter work. So you take
right.
people out who are interested in, is it just salmon fishing?
No, we do rockfish and salmon. And that runs from May through September. Yeah, so we do about half and half, about half rock fishing, half salmon, depending on what, you know, the people want to go for. Everybody has a different taste. A lot of people prefer the rockfish because it's a lighter, less oily meat. Salmon has a little more oil, a little more flavor. So just depends what the people's tastes are.
Do you get a lot of people who are locals, or do you tend to get people who are here from out of the area?
Yeah, you know, I think that we figured it out, and it's about 80% of our clients come from the Redding area, Sacramento Valley.
Huh.
And, you know, the other 20% is locals. Yeah, definitely more out of the area.
Okay. Yeah, that's such a great opportunity for people, you know, even local people to get out there and,
yeah.
and catch some of their fish, too. I mean, that's got to be a good feeling when you're actually, you know, being able to feed yourself and be able to feed other people.
Absolutely. And, I mean, fresh fish is so hard to beat. So often people think they don't like fish until they eat, you know, fresh seafood that they caught that day. And it's a totally different experience than something off the shelf, you know.
It is. I mean, some of the fish that I've had that's been locally caught is just so fresh tasting. It doesn't smell fishy. It doesn't
right.
taste fishy, you know. That association we have with that fishy flavor is really when the fish has gone bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and you still have a crab fishing license, is that
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're actually still crab fishing right now on a different boat. The permit is the thing that's trickier to get with crab fishing, and not just anybody can go out there and commercially crab fish. You have to have a vessel with a permit. So it's a little trickier these days. There's only a limited amount of permits. The only way you can get one is if you buy a boat that has one, or if somebody removes their permit from their vessel and sells it to you.
And I bet that doesn't happen very often.
No, not really.
Yeah, so it's pretty hard to come by the fishing license for crab. And what does that get you?
Well, if you have a commercial crab permit, then you can legally go out and catch Dungeness crab and sell them to a market.
And how many crab traps do you usually set?
We have about 300 right now. Actually, the crab pot limits just went into effect this year, so the most anybody can have is 500. And it tiers down from there to 175 is the bottom tier.
And when you go out there and pull a crab trap, about how many crab? I mean, I'm sure it varies, but do you have an average?
Well, at the beginning of the season, there's always more. You know, you hope for 30 or 40 crabs to the pot if it's a good start to the season. By the end of the season, like right now, we're lucky to get one or two to the trap. But the price is, you know, pretty high right now. I think we're getting $5.50 a pound. So one or two to the trap is, you know, is fine.
Uh-huh. Because everybody is going out there when the season first opens.
Right, yeah. And then boats definitely start dropping off as the crabs start falling off, especially the larger boats because their overhead's a lot higher.
Okay, you know, yeah. So, yeah, to put their boat out there costs them a lot more money for the amount of crab that they bring back.
Right.
So what sorts of reels and rods do you use out there?
Also, for rock fishing, we use ugly sticks and pen spinning reels.
Uh-huh.
And for salmon, we use a Pescara rod with a pen level wind reel.
Okay. Do you use downriggers at all?
You know, we don't use downriggers for salmon. We are going to put a few on the boat this year. We're usually fishing close enough to shore where we can reach the fish at whatever depth they're at. But, you know, times are changing and
people are getting lazier.
Yeah. We're trying to get away from using as much lead. So downrigger is definitely a better option for that.
Okay. So when you get away from using lead, you're using like steel balls?
Right. The downriggers have lead balls, but they don't release, and they usually have a plastic coating on them. The traditional old school method is to actually use a release weight, which is a 1 or 2 pound lead ball. And when the fish bites, the ball releases and goes to the bottom. But we're really trying to get away from that, you know, for several different reasons. So, yeah, going to a fixed downrigging system or using a deep diver, which is a planer that is just made out of plastic that sends the line down to whatever depth you want. And there's no waste that way. So that's really what we're trying to get to.
So how big is your boat?
The crab boat that I'm running is 32 feet and the Shenandoah is 44.
Okay. Wow. That's a big boat.
Yeah. It's
So when people go out, do they bring their lunches out with them?
Yeah. Yep. That's we do 2 5-hour trips. And so, you know, people are welcome to bring whatever they want. You know, usually we'll have a few refreshments on board, snacks, if they forgot to bring their own. But, yeah, you know, and sometimes people will charter the whole boat for all day and kind of make a party out of it and bring an ice chest. And, you know, we do a lot of bachelor parties and stuff like that.
Oh, that's a fun idea.
Yeah.
Now, Carrie, do you go out on the boat?
I go out occasionally, not every day. My job's mostly I do the booking from home. I take the reservations. So when people call up, it's me that they talk to. You know, I set up their booking to go out.
So being a person from the inland, you get seasick when you go out?
I do.
Do you have any cures that you recommend for people? Don't go out.
Right. Well, there are a few tricks that Clay's taught me over the years. You know, keeping your eye on the horizon and your face to the wind and staying out on the deck and
away from any diesel fumes.
Right. Don't eat a heavy breakfast, you know. Yeah. Pack a 7-Up or water or something.
Yeah. I think people have mentioned ginger.
Soda crackers. Yeah.
Yeah. When my husband always jokes that he looks like Inspector Gadget when he goes out because he's got the thing behind the ear. He's got the wrist bracelet on. He's eating ginger like crazy, but he's still, you know, kind of iffy when it comes to getting sick, especially if the seas are rough at all.
Exactly. Right.
What sort of seas would be considered rough out there that people might like start to veer away from?
Oh, you know, it really varies. Some people are more sensitive than others. Some guys that are seasoned sport fishermen, then, you know, they don't mind if it's 12, 14 feet. They still want to go for it. Other people, you know, 3 or 4 feet might seem a little choppy to them. So it's just, you know, it's really individualized.
Yeah, your tolerance level.
Right.
Now, if people want to get a hold of you to book a trip, who might they call? They might call you, Carrie, right?
Yeah, it's basically our home office number. It's on our website. Yeah.
Okay, what's that number?
It's 707-677-9485.
And what's your website?
It's shenandoahcharters.com.
Perfect. Easy to remember. Well, this has been a pleasure talking with Carrie and Clay Collins from the fishing vessel Shenandoah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house,
come on. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.